Good night, everybody. I'm Landeros with the Cantina MX podcast. We have a lot to discuss. Pumas are still undefeated. I'm just going to go right into our panel today. Thank you, DJ. Chiquis is back, and Joel is joining us as well. Chiquis just had to wait until Pumas were relevant again to return to the podcast. he avoided all the bullying, you know?
I was drowning in my lack of losses. You know, I don't have very many losses.
Oh, my God. The big
goose egg.
You go on a 9-game undefeated streak, and now you're the big cat on campus. Is that what's going on?
Oh yeah, the big cat that goes meow scares everyone else away.
No, I'm not gonna lie, man. I did not expect Pumas to be like this. I think when they started the season, they didn't even have a coach; they had an intern. But here we are, 9 games into the season, 19 points, and they are actually tied on points with Cruz Azul and America. But the difference is you guys haven't tasted that L yet. So pretty good stuff.
I'll say that because right now, currently, Cruz Azul, America have 6 wins and Pumas has 5. So it's not full like blowing away with wins. There's 4 ties that Pumas has. So they've just avoided the loss of 3 points.
5 wins is still good. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's good. I'm not saying it's not, but... Yeah.
Those are the top 4 teams all have 5 or 6 wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The top 4, which are the ones that are going directly into Liguilla, and Chiquis, this is game 9. Can Pumas make it to match week 11? They will tie their old record of 11 games undefeated.
Wow.
They're 2 more games away. Do you know who they play, Chiquis?
It doesn't
matter at this point, huh? Well, Copa way. Yes.
It seems
Liga.
It seems pretty realistic because their next 2 opponents is Atlético San Luis. And then a cat fight against León.
Yes.
So things are looking good for Pumas really quickly. I just want to go over we did have a double jornada between our last episode. So we can start right off the top with Atlético San Luis. They beat Necaxa 2-1. So they are no longer in dead last. And then Toluca lost to Juarez 1-0. What is happening with Chepo, Joel? 1-0 to Juarez? What's up with your guy?
I know. But you know, he has him in 8th place, which is... They're still... Basically, they either win or lose. Toluca. So Toluca has 4-1 and 5 defeats, but they have a -6 goal differential.
Ouch.
I haven't been watching Diablos Rojos, but something seems off. I don't know, Chepo, I think, but I think for the Diablos right now, their main thing would be to get back into Liguilla. I don't think they're too concerned with winning the league. They're not there yet. But yeah, very regular with the whole...
Yeah.
Some of their defeats, you know, they're pretty disappointing, to be honest.
Not as far as this unpredictable season, Atlas beat Cruz Azul 1-0. Atlas, man.
Which. It was their first win, and it was their first win. So, and I think during that game, I think Cruz Azul was either in first or second, but Cruz Azul was about to claim first place, and Atlas said no, not today.
Yeah, it was one of those games where I'm like, are you serious? Of course Cruz Azul would lose to Atlas, man. It's just one of those games you're just like, okay, moving on. The fight of the match day 8, I think, not to be biased or anything, but it was definitely the Chivas Tigres game. A lot of action that happened in that game. The referee las estaba cobrando baratas. I mean, this guy was giving out yellow cards for just looking at him wrong. And what ended up happening in the game is Tigres got a player sent off pretty early, and then Chivas got a player sent off as well, and they ended up beating Tigres in El Volcán 3-1, something that they haven't done in over a decade. So it was a very satisfying victory for Vucetich and for Chivas, and Gignac still was able to score a goal, and he's our, you know, we're his favorite customer.
And you know, interesting is, despite this big win at El Volcán and putting an end to this 10-year winless streak, there's still a lot of fans that are not convinced with Vuce. They say that he's too defensive. A lot of these Chivarmanos, they're still clamoring for Matias. And it's like they're living in the past, man. I don't think they're paying attention to what's going on with Mati and St. Joe.
Oh, man. I was going to wait later to talk about that. But, I mean, we can kind of just talk about it really quickly. Matias Almeida is getting ragdolled right now with San Jose. I thought the game was over 5-0, but apparently the game was still going. And they are still playing right now, currently 7-1 in the minute 74.
Ouch.
So Matias is just getting exposed. You know.
And they had like a pretty good preseason. They scored one, Wondolowski, so it's 7-1. But if we look at his results this season, they're pretty bad. I mean, the floodgates have been open. They started the season with a 3-2 defeat to the Galaxy, and then they dropped a 5-1 defeat to Los Angeles, and then they tied Colorado at home. But to allow 8 goals in 2 games,
yeah,
does not look good. And now, you know, now you add to those 8, 7 more, and it's like 15. So, and then with the Colorado, it's 16. 16 goals allowed in 4 games.
Oh man,
that's like college foot. That's college football numbers there. Man.
Yeah, that's the other football. It's American football.
So, are you Busey guys? Hey, this is what could happen, man.
I would like to have Mati go back, man.
So you back want to him us? Back? You
go back to Chivas, him to
Pumas, man. Don't put that curse on us. Don't put that curse on us.
Go back to Chivas so he could like not provide any results, and Chivas would still like miss Liguilla. And then what are they going to say? Then what are the fans going to say?
Well, he did. You know, he missed Liguillas his last 2 seasons there. And I kept telling everyone, and I kept getting excuse after excuse. The excuse was they took away the best players. Then there was injuries. And to me, it's just excuses, because at this point, Mati wasn't just the coach. He was like the general manager. He was in charge of even like the medic. He had replaced the guy that was in charge of overseeing like the injuries and all that, which was 2 of the players. I'm not forgetting their names right now, but they had injuries, and they ended up being injured longer because Mati's crew was like, "No, don't go under the knife. You know, you just need like."
Hold on.
You know,
breaking news.
Huh.
Breaking news.
What's up?
San Jose player just took a dive in the box.
Oh.
And apparently got a penalty and scored a goal.
Oh, wow.
Wait, you mean Wondolowski? Because
Chris is you know, it's bad when you're the team carrying you, or the player that's carrying this team is you know, up there like in retirement 40. Age. Yeah, he's pretty old.
They won't let him retire, right?
I forgot Alanis. Yeah, I forgot Alanis and Carlos Fierro are on this team, man. I mean, holy shit.
He took him. Yeah, he brought in some of the old You know, as long as Galindo was still recovering, I think he had had a heart attack or something like that.
He had a stroke.
He must have seen what was the thing. He's not with the team right now.
He's like, man, this team's gonna mejor me muero.
Oh, ouch, ouch. But you know, I'm gonna say this. Like, I think there was too many excuses, but I always felt like in the Liga MX that teams sort of figure out Almeida. They kind of figure out his style, and that's why he ended up having two bad seasons. Because and now I'm gonna allow the excuses. I'm allow the hey, se fue Pizarro and injuries, but that still doesn't mean that you should have been that bad. 15th and 17th, that's still not, you know. That's still too bad. Going from campeón, dropping all the way that low, and then that even adding more insult to injury was not being able to win a single home game the whole season, you know, for league. I mean, you could be the Zapateros of Oaxaca or whatever.
I'll be in
Copa MX.
I'll be curious to see what happens with Mati because, you know, San Jose, unlike Chivas, are used to sucking egg. I mean, they had the wooden spoon, which is like the spoon that's given to the worst team in the MLS. So the expectations for like any coach to take over this team is just to not be in last place. So, you know, it's like the team, I think, will in the beginning, at least in his first season, they were patient with him. But I think now they're starting to realize, like, man, this is not the guy that we need. But at the same time, it's like the team is just, they don't have many players. In fact, I remember covering them last season for a U.S. Open Cup, and they debuted this kid. He was 15 years old. His name is Cowell, Cade Cowell, and he's 16 now. And they're, you know, depending on this guy to be like the difference maker. And I'm like, come on, man, you can't have a 16-year-old be like, you know, be the one that's gonna make the team better. You gotta buy players.
Yeah, and that's part of that they brought him in. Because he's supposed to, like, rebuild the team and have a project with youth, which is one of the things he was supposed to be doing at Chivas. But then he backed down from that. Like, he knew that Cota was leaving. He knew a lot of these guys were leaving, but he still, like, didn't trust, I guess, the cantera, at least not the canteranos he had. At least he didn't trust them fully, you know? So that's... I think he's still not this bad.
We'll see what happens.
I don't think he's this bad, but I don't think he's the, you know, this tactical genius that a lot of my Chi hermanos were making him out to be, man. I think
I got a question
what
for
happened?
Y'all.
Yes.
You think that knowing Liga MX and how well they do with recycling coaches, you think after his thing with San Jose, you think Mati will be back in Mexico?
I do, yes. I do think so. He's still popular. He still has, you know, he still has some juice. and, you know, as long as he maintains good. I mean, you know, we kind of saw it with, I keep forgetting his name, the Cruz Azul coach.
Who? Right now?
Chiquis. Yes, current coach. He went to Veracruz and he just... was getting dumped on like the whole former season.
Santos. Former Santos coach. What's his name?
Former Santos.
Oh, the Portuguese Siboldi. Guy?
Robert...
Oh, Siboldi. Oh,
No. Siboldi. Robert Dante Siboldi. He was the goalkeeper. But he went to Veracruz and he was just getting dumped on. And I think with Mati, I think he could do good with a good squad. I just don't think he's the type of coach that is gonna, you know, with limited talent, I don't think his style is made for that, you know?
Yeah.
I said, put him in Tigres, I think he would have them playing attacking and very nice, or at Monterrey, but...
Yeah. Speaking with Tigres, they ended up tying after the game with Chivas. On Tuesday, they tied with León 1-1. more red cards for Tigres. Pizarro got sent off. Chivas also tied with Querétaro, and it was a pretty devastating result for us because we got a penalty towards the end of the match, and we're talking like minute 87. It was a controversial call. The referee called it obstruction against Macias. He goes up to take the penalty, and like he did previously this season, he missed. So what would have been 3 points, we ended up getting 1 point. And Macias, as of right now, I will ask him to be relieved of penalty-taking duty because he is not reliable.
It's sort of the first thing I thought was like, okay, Macias, he scores a pretty good goal earlier in the game. And I'm like, okay, this dude's set to go, man. He's set to go to Europe. And then all of a sudden he shoots himself in the foot in the in the final minutes of the game. So it's unfortunate for that dude.
Yeah, man. I don't know why Chivas have always been cursed with the penalty situation, but we've just haven't had a really good PK taker since Ramon Morales. I mean, after he retired, like Omar Bravo and Chicharito and all of our strikers, man, they're just so unpredictable. And most of the time they end up missing the penalties. And it's just nice to have someone that can, you know, put them away for you, like Pereira or Alanis, you know?
It's like, I don't know if this happens really for teams, but just because your star goal scorer is you know, like scoring goals in the field and everything, it doesn't mean he's like is going to be the top penalty kicker.
Yeah,
like he could, and that doesn't mean like, oh, I'm going to put Macias in there because he's scoring all our goals on the field, and you know, automatically he has to make the penalty kick. There could be a defender that's got a better penalty kick than in like a forward and stuff. So you can't be having that kind of bias. I don't know if that's the case, but
Here's the problem with being a penalty taker in the game. You know, is typically it should be your striker, but it also should be someone that has a backbone, has the leadership, and has like the team, like, you know, they'll play for him. And I don't think Macias has that buy-in with his teammates yet. I don't think he's like the leader of the team. I don't see him as the captain of the team. I think for right now, that would probably be Jesus Molina. I think he's like a veteran. He bosses the midfield, and I think the players respect him, and I think they have his back. But Macias came in being all fresa from, like, you know, his León and talking bad about the team and how, like, oh yeah, they don't get along because it's all cutthroat because it's all Mexicans. But over here we have like foreigners and we're all cool. So I think like Macias, for him to take the ball and be like a selfish little kid, I think it was a mistake. I think somebody else should take the penalties from here on out. And like you said, he did really shoot himself in the foot by missing.
Yeah, that was.
I think they should have let Oribe take that shot.
Yeah,
that dude's been hurting for a goal for a long time. I think he would have put it in, man.
Yeah, people would have been raging. Portero. Chiva Hermanos would have been raging if you had given Oribe that opportunity. They don't even want him on the field.
I think some of them.
I think. All right. He's you know, he's at the end of his career and he hasn't had much opportunity with Chivas. He got some minutes, surprisingly. And I'm like, you know what? Let him have his little goal, you know? Just give him a little bit of hope.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird seeing that dude in a Chivas jersey.
It is, man.
Well, he played with Chivas before he played with America.
Yep, Libertadores.
He was one of the... He was like a lone refuerzo. And then Chivas sort of dropped the ball back then. They felt they had better talent. Then
he exploded
with Santos, and then
at the time it was not the right time. I mean, I think this was a loan back in like 2004, 2005, and at that time Chivas were stacked. You know, they had Omar Bravo, they had like a squad, and he was barely starting his career, and he wasn't really doing anything at that point. So I think like the timing was off. And then after like the World Cup, that's when I think Peralta's career started to take off. Like, I want to say like 07, 08, when he was winning titles with Santos and shit. I think that's when we should have probably pulled the trigger. And I think we tried to, but I think America offered $1 million more, and that's why he ended up playing for America than instead of Chivas. So, in an alternate universe, who knows what would happen?
Yeah.
Going over the rest of this of the week, so we had quite a few ties. Monterrey, Atlas tied 1-1. León Tigres 1-1. América beat Puebla 3-2. Puebla had a tough one because they lost against Pumas 4-1, and then another loss against América. The Super Camotes are now in 11th, so not so super anymore. Cruz Azul beat Pachuca, Mazatlán beat Tijuana, and like Chiquis mentioned, Santos lost to Pumas 2-1 yesterday. So we're past the halfway point of the league. I think we're starting to take shape, but unfortunately, because like we mentioned, there's 12 teams that can make Liguilla. Even the team.
Well, not exactly.
Well, they have an opportunity to make league.
Technically, yeah, they make repechaje, which is like what is it in English?
In English, it's like the wild card. You know,
the wild card. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So, even despite us being 9 games into the season, even Necaxa with a victory would immediately be in that position. So it's like, the difference between like 18th and first, there's quite a gap, but the difference between 18th and 12th is a handful of points, which is, it's going to be a dogfight till the end, man. I don't know what you guys think, or if you guys have your favorites already for Liguilla, but as of right now, it could be anybody.
Yeah, I was suspect with America and their defense. I wonder. Let me see how many goals against. They have 14 goals against them, so their defense is still iffy. They're up on top of the table, but they are, I think, might be the leader. Well, Toluca's got 19 goals in contra. Yeah, they're one of the top leaders for goals scored against them. So their defense 14. Is suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toluca has 19, and then like Puebla has 14 as well. Tijuana does.
They're also the team with most goals, with 20. So.
So they're just so powerful offensively. I guess they're keeping up with their defense, and Tigres is what's sort of really surprising me. They've only got 2 wins, and 5 and 2 wins, 2 losses, 5 ties. And it's been downhill. Like even last season wasn't too impressive, and now it seems even worse. 10th place, so not looking good. I think Cruz Azul. I think who called it? Joel called it. Joel called Cruz Azul at the very beginning.
Yeah, he did.
Oh yes.
They seem to be the team
too. Last season as well. If they wouldn't gotten suspended,
yeah,
I think they were favorites, and I still think they are favorites, along with Pumas. They're one of the more
Pumas is surprising. Teams. Pumas is surprising because they got some young kids, but
yeah, I don't even recognize their players, man.
Yeah, they got a big. Well, they took one of your guys, like Mayorga, used to be with Chivas.
Yeah,
but they got some older foreigner guys mixed with a bunch of young
Iniestra.
Mexicans. Iniestra, who he's like a young Mexican dude, but he scored a golazo. But then Iturbe, who's also who's a foreigner, scored another golazo for this and against Santos in their own home stadium.
Imagine your name being Andres Iniestra and then finding out you're just like not even going to be close to match his, the real guy. Like having the same name as Andres Iniestra must be tough, bro. But it's funny, I typed it in on Google, and I'm showing both the Andre Iniesta from Spain and then the Mexican, like on Wikipedia, like it's like using both photos. So you're like, wait, which one is it,
Yeah, people go into science and get their jersey signed and a Barcelona jersey over to the Puma Stadium.
where's Andres?
We have some commenters. Luis saying that Macias leads the front line, but without the ball, they don't really match his work ethic. I see Macias pressing to the back line while the midfield just stands there doing nothing. He's clearly fed up. So, yeah, it's a system that's kind of the midfield. Beltran's really good, but Chuy.
Some of these guys haven't been match fit.
We're 9 games into the season, man. Like they gotta be.
Some of them got sick. Some of them got sick with COVID.
We're doing 2 games a week right now. I mean,
That's why I think that's also kind of have hurt, because it's less time to recover. But I think that's been part of the reason team hasn't looked better. I still think, and then they had to suspend the 2 guys for.
Oh yeah,
for their party, and all of this stuff has been a bit of a hindrance.
I just miss Chofis. You know, he's clearly needed in some of these games, but maybe he doesn't have the discipline or the work ethic or whatever the case may be. But when he's in the game, it's so refreshing. This guy throws passes that, you know, no other player on the field is doing, and I think he would probably link up better with Macias than Beltran and Jesus. So
even with the change of coach, Chofis isn't getting the minutes.
Nope.
Yeah, at one point you gotta start.
It's not thinking, the coach.
Maybe it's the player.
Yeah, it's definitely.
I don't
not
think
the coach.
These coaches want to lose their job. You know, these coaches want to win, and they're gonna put the best players that could you know get those wins for them. But if you have someone that could be very disruptive, unless I'm taking my guess. With trophies where they're like probably not giving it 100, like he's doing that Chucky at Napoli with Gattuso's. Yeah. Like, remember he's showing up to the training, Gattuso's like, dude, just go home, you know, just go home, man,
just go home, bro. Today's not your day.
Yeah, if you're not gonna be 100 right here, bounce. And I think That approach seems to be working, because he's been playing better, huh?
Luis is saying that Chofis would have gotten cut by now if Chivas had some money to replace him, which that might be the case. You know, they did buy Pocho Guzman, but you know that deal fell through.
And he's the other one on Luis as well. There hasn't been offers.
Yep.
Like what concrete? What big rumor have you heard? Yeah. It was like a team that, hey, we'll take trophies, or how much? How much? Yeah.
I think
extra dude con aguacate. Send them over.
The last rumor I remember was like trophies was going to be used as trading chips to Rayados, but that was like a season ago. So
it was, and then the one, remember he did an interview, said I had an offer, but I decided to stay, and it was like from MLS,
MLS,
some second division team,
hey,
or something.
San
like
Jose
that.
Earthquake.
Or their new team? What team was it?
I don't know. Inter Miami.
No, not there. Oh. Like,
there's like some
Timbers team, or something.
There's like Nashville. There's like teams in Austin now. It's I don't know. It's all over the place.
It was the indoor team that had Buffalo, dude.
Oh god.
Hey, no, they're like, hey man, right here you could come drunk.
Hopefully
Indoor has unlimited subs, dude.
Maybe San Jose will do us a favor and buy trophies or something, I don't know.
They're saying
we,
though,
actually,
that they,
we should do Matty a favor and send trophies over there, yeah. Man.
See, what are you saying, that like the other teams are getting the vibe, the trophies vibe, or the rumors?
Oh,
spread.
It's been known for a long time, Chiquis.
Okay, he's got the stink cheese or whatever that no one wants him. Like, not even
stink cheese.
yeah, he does. He's had it for a long, you know, and it goes even further back. Even if you dig up info on him, goes even back to when he was just getting started at Chivas. And I remember reading that this is when Güero Real was there. Right? How far back are you going? that he had pushed back against bringing him in, just because since they already knew since then that this dude just liked to party too much.
Speaking of rumors and transfers, there is an offer on the table for Carlos Salcedo to return to Europe. So, curious to see how that turns out, but that's very exciting news. You know, this guy was playing in Italy, he was playing in Germany, so I would love for him to go back and give it another shot. And there's also Jesus Corona. It looks like Wolves offered to buy him, but Porto rejected it, so he will not be teammates with Raul Jimenez. Least.
And Jimenez is staying. Those rumors to Man U, to Juventus, to
Squad,
to Real, to all these other teams. Just that rumors.
Yeah. I think that's fine. I think he's at the best place he could be. Until they start to pick apart the team, that's when he needs to jump ship. But as of right now, I'm happy with him being at Wolves, and the Premier League is returning this weekend, so I feel like they didn't have much of a break, but I'm excited that they're, you know, a new campaign. They're going to play against Sheffield United, so it should be at least a brace for Raul. We'll see. There was also one last thing about Europe. Oh, kind of related, because Pizarro plays for Inter Miami. He's going to have a new teammate, Higuain. Higuain's going to Inter Miami. That's their DP.
Oh man, that's a good, yeah, man. That should be a, you know, that could be a lethal dupla right there, man. Those two dudes, they could create some havoc. I mean, given if Higuain is gonna be serious, you know.
Dude, have you seen this guy's body? He looks like he's already retired.
he's gonna be.
It's MLS. He is retired.
He could be with Chicharito's Warzone team.
Oh yeah, if you want to talk some Warzone, man.
Jiggies, I saw that video you posted. What was it, Chicharo on Twitch?
Yeah, he's on Twitch. Memo Ochoa's on Twitch also.
Oh,
playing Warzone and all kinds of games.
It's funny seeing Chicharo rage, man.
He's entertaining. Like I think I put a tweet saying, you know, evaluating each other's streams. Chicharito's pretty funny. He's got good personality, and yeah, he likes to rage and stuff. But his graphics are horrible. Memo's got a better setup, but Memo's sort of boring, man. That dude just sits there looking. He looks dumb. Like he's got the green screen and everything, and he just it's just not fun. It's a lot funner watching Chicharito play.
Oh, that's funny.
So Higuain could be on his team, man. He just
yeah.
Oh, real quick, gentlemen, Selección news. FIFA announced that World Cup qualifying for CONCACAF has been postponed.
Oh shit!
It's gonna be. It was gonna start this year, but it's now next year.
Oh.
So next year. So if you were waiting for qualifiers next year and FIFA rankings, here's the latest. Belgium, first place. France, second. Brazil, third. England, fourth. I don't know what this escudo is. It's like, is it Argentina? I think it's Argentina. No, it's not. Yeah, I don't know what it is, man.
What?
Some team in fifth.
Uruguay.
Croatia in six. I don't think it's Uruguay.
Yep, Uruguay number five.
Wait, how?
What? According to Coca-Cola, okay? They're clearly the best judge when it comes to football.
Because you get points for games, but I don't...
Yeah, what the hell really has Uruguay done? I would rank Croatia higher because they were runners-up of the World Cup.
Yeah. Portugal, seventh. Spain, eighth. Argentina 9th, Colombia 10th, Mexico 11th, followed by Switzerland, Italy,
Netherlands,
Holland.
Yeah.
Yeah, Holland, Germany, man.
Wow.
Really? 15th, for Germany, that just, yeah, I don't know what timeline we're on right here. this 2020 filter is making things look weird.
Man, I wonder if that's our lowest ranking ever.
Is this Poland 16th?
Yeah, Denmark.
Oh, it's Denmark.
Man, you know these big teams don't even care about these rankings, man. Yeah. Like Germany could care.
No,
about
no, them. Wait, cheekies. I'll tell you why.
Seedings and stuff.
Right, man. Right after this commercial break. See, you knew, Chile and Sweden tied at 17th, and then some Eagle team.
Poland. And
that could be Poland. That is Poland, 19th. Yeah. Okay, but the thing with Mex, so they're at 11 with 1,621 points. They're only 2 points from Argentina in 9th. So with the grupos going in, I think Mex could be seeded if they keep playing their cards right.
They'll be seeded.
And we had some dude here, Michel Richaud. He does a lot of this, like, stats. He's like a big stat nerd. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. But he had a really good podcast with this dude right here. And they were talking about, like, because he does a lot of, like, analyzing of this stuff. Chiquis, I don't know if you remember. But
yeah, I remember.
He was talking about some of the keys to winning the World Cup. And one of them is you have to be seeded. So if you're a seeded team, you can avoid some of the top teams early on. So that, you know, helps you. So, and I think that's going to be key for Mex. That if they're seeded, they should be able to get a bit further. Finally get that quinto partido. but I do think it's it helps, and it's been a while since Mex was seeded. What was it, 2006?
2006.
So yeah.
And
yeah, over
how
10
well
years,
did that
man.
Did us? Because we ended up screwing up with Argentina and getting our booty tickled. But
no, the screw up wasn't with Argentina, man. The screw up was against
Portugal, Angola.
The other team, Angola. Yeah. They were
tied.
They were the newcomers. First World Cup ever. Their goalie was like amateur guy.
Teams.
No, we're not. But at the World Cup, man, come on. I still think because La Volpe got it wrong that day, and then Portugal, man, as well, because they threw us the B team, and
yeah,
we still lost.
Talking about the World Cup, I was watching Anelka's biography or whatever thing on Netflix. And they talked about how his first World Cup, surprisingly, was in 2010. You know, this kid started his career at like 16, professional debut and stuff. He didn't get picked for the 98 World Cup. He didn't get picked for the 2002 World Cup. He had to wait until 2010. And it's funny because they did show highlights of that game against Mexico and how apparently at halftime, the coach called out his name and they got into some shit. So, you know, France ended up losing that game 2-0 to Mexico. Chicharito scored. And was it Cuauhtemoc scored a penalty? If I'm not mistaken.
Someone scored.
I think Guau scored a penalty off of, yeah. Pretty sure.
If only we had a way of finding that out.
But, yeah, it was just interesting to kind of see the other side of things. Where, like, you know, for Mexico, that was a big victory for us, but we had no idea what France was going through, but apparently they were an entire shit show, and you can thank Anelka for that.
There was rumors, so it was sort of known that there were some issues, but there was always...
It was!
There was always that
cheeky, fear. Cheeky, sorry for the interruption. Google has just confirmed that it was...
Wow.
A blanco.
Yeah, it was
quite penalty in the 79th minute. Good memory there, Jaime.
Well, Mexico doesn't score too many World Cup goals, so they're easy to remember.
I know, but my memory betrays me. It makes stuff up now.
Like
I try to remember stuff, and my mind trolls me, dude. It gives me wrong info on purpose.
Yeah, something that we forgot to mention in the last podcast, Joel, was the Gold Cup. You said that Qatar is invited?
Ah, yes. Qatar will be invited to the Gold Cup. And I think they might switch up the format. So there will be more news coming up to that. But yeah, Qatar will be coming over, man. They're going to...
Wow. Maybe they're just trying to make good, you know, with the region.
We've seen stuff like that. What was it? Japan and Korea, I think. I'm not sure if both played Copa America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you know, you guys are hosting the next World Cup. We're hosting the next World Cup after that. So.
And we don't have that, you know, the Confederations, which was like the.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there's like the preview, man. I'm really going to miss that. But here it is, Qatar to compete in 2021 CONCACAF Gold Cup.
Wow. So we got a lot of stuff going on then since, you know, Copa America was postponed, the Olympics were postponed. So it's like 2021, there's going to be a shit ton of football internationally. So should be fun.
A lot of doble jornadas.
Yeah, because I was actually...
Also...
Go ahead.
There's also a Mexico-Costa Rica friendly.
Yep.
At the end of this month.
Yeah, we got two. We got one against Costa Rica. We have another one against Holanda.
So that should...
How far apart are these games? You guys know?
They have to be within...
Let's see.
I want to say it's...
I didn't know about the Holland one.
Yeah, it's on the 7th of October.
Okay, yeah, there's usually a few days between.
Yeah, so, yeah. Because we were talking about when the Holland was announced.
Uh-huh.
Because usually they had been announcing two, around two at a time, and we were like, yep, it was just gonna be that.
So they're exactly a week apart. September 30th, last day of the month, Costa Rica versus Mexico, or Mexico versus Costa Rica, because they'll be hosting them, and then they're gonna fly out to Holland and play them there. I mean.
Is that where it's at? It's
well, they might. Two different teams, I would do that. You know? The Europeos over there and... Liga MX heavy squad here. And going maybe even a lot of the youth players because some of them are... the Olympics was postponed. But you still got to get playing time to some of those guys. So, like, we might see JJ Mack play Costa Rica and then just not make the flight to Holland.
You actually did bring up a good point. I think it's already been confirmed that the game against Costa Rica will be domestic players only.
Yeah. Yeah, they've always done it like that.
Not all the time.
No pasa nada. No pasa nada.
They usually do that for like the Partidos Moleros, you know, out here in the United States, but for the ones in El Azteca, they usually do bring their squad. Yeah, so I'm kind of glad that we're getting some international stuff, man. It's been a long time. I don't even remember the last Mexico game.
Oh, man. Yeah, me neither. And I probably was there.
Yeah, as far as the Liga MX goal scoring table, do we even have to say it? I mean, Gignac scoring a goal a game. He's got 8. Jonathan Rodriguez tied in second place with 6, along with Juan Ignacio Dineno. Who the hell is Juan Ignacio Dineno?
Argentine. We talked about him. Yeah. Jaime.
I know. It's just like, I'm just saying it like it was like a rhetoric question.
Came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
We were, Chiquis missed it, but we were like looking at this dude's like career. And he had been in a bunch of teams on loan, so he's 26, you know, and he had been playing in a couple teams, so he's been active since 2013, started at Racing Club, and then he went on loan to pretty much like Ecuador, and he was in Colombia.
Yeah,
and he's like finally everywhere here. Yep. Pumas, but I mean, his playing has stayed consistent. And we were comparing him to, I believe it's at Ormeño, who is at Puebla.
Yeah.
Right? Santiago Ormeño. And he's same age, 26, and about the same height, 6'1". And so we're looking at his career. And this dude, he was active since 2017. So, I mean, that's already, the other guy already has 4 years on him, you know, and his appearances were like just abysmal. 13 that year, and then 2 games with Lobos, 2 games with Cusco on loan, and then right now at Puebla, he's had the most. He's gotten back to more games at 10. He's 3 more matches from his all-time of 13 games. But, I mean, if you add his appearances, it's 27. He has 27 appearances in like, professional football.
Yeah.
Compared to Dineno, who had, man, he's, like about 200, you know? So, 30 to 200. And so that's one thing we talked about here, the time cheekies, how a lot of times these Mexican players seem like they suck, and it's not that they suck,
they didn't even have the chance.
They don't have the same, yeah, they don't have the chance.
Yeah, it's quite troublesome because if you look at the top 10 goal scorers in the league, we only have one Mexican in there, and that's Henry Martin with 5, but everybody else is from Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile, Argentina. I mean, it's just foreigners.
It's the locks. The locks thing. The Mati locks.
Oh, man, it's not. There's more money in the transfers. That's been the case for a long time now. In buying players really cheap and then selling them, and that's always been the whole.
No, the whole Argentinian thing.
The business.
The whole Argentinian thing, because this guy came. Dineno came from. Like some no name, like Deportivo Cuenca, Barcelona, Guayaquil, Cali. Okay, Cali was known, but all these loans, right? From after Racing, and then he finally gets into UNAM, which I guess it was sort of a risk, right? Then you just know he's Argentinian, so that's your deal, and then he lights it up. So like, if you give a chance to a Mexican player, Pumas is even have they have a. A Mexican striker, I believe, but they got to light it up.
You don't even know the name. Jesus, is your team? You don't even know.
They got to make they got to make their opportunities worth it, man. They got to do something when they have the chance.
Nah, man, it's not that, man. I'm telling you, it's the big, it's the negocio, man. It's the negocio, the compra y venta, and it's. I guess it's also, you could tie it in with lavado de dinero, you know? Mm. And what I'm seeing now is, where I think how they're moving money now is through the construction of stadiums. And we've seen it with the Mazatlan Stadium that is just, it just came out of the nowhere, you know? And now Venados.
Holy
And if
smokes.
You look at the stadium, you know, Google it, Google Venados.
It is
football. Their new, yeah, it looks sweet, man.
It says new sustainable stadium to be built in Yucatan, and it looks very, very nice. It says that it will be the house of the Leones, which is a professional baseball team, and then the Venados, which is a soccer team. So it'll be a multi-purpose stadium. And it looks like it will be the first sustainable stadium in Mexico, whatever that means. It says it will have smart parking to avoid traffic congestion and will prioritize the use of non-motorized transport vehicles such as bicycles. Okay.
Can we go there in a bicycle?
I mean... It's funny because I remember Chivas had a sustainable stadium because they used artificial grass. And then Johan Cruyff said, get that shit out of my place. We need real grass, bro.
We need real grass.
Also, that'll be like $10 million. Thank you for consulting with me. Never really knew what Johan did with Chivas.
Yeah, very little. Unfortunately, he came when he was already sick, and so he wasn't gonna be able to like oversee the whole project. And I think that was part of the reason this thing did not last as long. I also think Chivas made a mistake in just going all in right away. They replaced like a bunch of youth coaches. It was just a giant mess. If you like see into what was going on. I remember reading an article with Hans, and he was telling, he was talking about the whole Johan Cruyff thing, and he was telling them, you guys need to hire some Mexicans. Don't just bring your dudes. You know, you guys need to mix it up a bit. And yeah, I think that advice fell on deaf ears.
Going into the next jornada, we are not too far away from the Super Clásico. So this week, match day 10, Chivas will play Necaxa on the road. Juarez will play Puebla, Atlas Mazatlán, Tigres Santos, Pumas Atlético, América Toluca, Querétaro León, Tijuana Cruz Azul, and Pachuca Monterrey. So, and then after that will be the Super Clásico. So we're not too far away from a good fight.
Yeah, that should be a good game there. And America's doing, you know, America's just being America. Quite consistent. They're in third place. And
it might be high scoring.
I was about to say America has 20 goals this season. Chivas probably have like the least amount of goals out of the whole league.
Wait, Chiki's saying you expect a high scoring game?
Yeah, it might be high scoring with the way America's defense is.
Chivas
might take advantage.
Maybe if it was Matias coaching Chivas, but not Buse, man.
It's still not the best defense. And yeah. they still got JJ Mack.
But you know what? But Chivas hasn't been scoring that many goals.
Yeah, they have 8. I guess they're not as bad as Necaxa.
Ouch.
They have 6, but they're definitely at the lower tier.
Well, here's their chance. To get some goals.
No, you're not going to do that in a classic.
It's America, man. America. They've eaten, you know, 20 goals already, or 19.
Yeah, they have, but this is a classical, man. Some of this stuff goes out the window.
I'm not saying that they're going to win or anything. I'm not saying they're going to win or anything. I'm saying that America is going to, you know, they're going to let some stuff go. Their defense isn't the best, but they're going to be, their offense is
top notch. So
I don't see Chivas winning.
Hey, they came back.
I understand what you're saying. Like, oh, it's a classical. We got to
win. Why you got me defending America, Chiki? I think you're doing it on purpose. Here I am.
I'm saying, because you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying Chivas is going to even win this. I'm saying Chivas is going to end up losing, but it could be a 4-2, a 3-2, a 5-3 type of match. If America doesn't do well on defense, their offense, of course, is going to produce.
America last game, they were losing, right? And then they flipped it around and they went 3-2 over Puebla. And it was an away game. Where is this? Chivas plays better at Azteca. Where is this game going to be
It's going to be in El Azteca, so Chivas will do well.
I'll give you that point. I give you that one in your favor, Chiquis, where it's like it could be more open just because America is the home team and their fans, they're going to expect them to be like the aggressors. But look, America, their last two games... Okay, look in their last four games. They beat Puebla 3-2. They beat Mazatlán 3-1.
They beat.
I know, but I'm talking about the number of goals they're scoring.
That's what I'm saying.
They put two on San Luis. And then they lost to Monterrey 3-1. But they've been a bit more consistent than Chivas, man.
I'm actually going to side with Chiquis on this one because, number one, it's a clásico, okay? So most of the time, it's more of a mental battle. There's definitely the stakes are raised, and these two teams hate each other, you know what I mean? So it's like sometimes the tactics kind of just go out of the way, and it turns into like a 12-round slugfest. So it could turn into one of those games where it's like, screw defense, bro. It's just going to be offense and counterattacking, and it's just going to be boom, 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 bunch of holes. And unfortunately, both goalkeepers right now are doing pretty bad. Toño had a terrible mistake against Querétaro, and
Butterfingers.
And Ochoa is Swiss cheese, full of holes. So we got a pretty good combination for a what should be an entertaining game.
And this is the key though. If America scores one or even two, you think Chivas is going to be bunkering? They're going to be exposing yes. themselves. They're going to be going forward. So whoever scores first is going to be going forward.
If I'm the coach and I'm losing 2-0, I do bunker.
Oh, my gosh, dude. I lost respect.
That's because you're just seeing it as the game, Cheekies. You have to see it as the whole season. You have to see it as once you enter a repechaje or a liguilla, you don't want to have those negative goals. You want to, you know, especially if it comes down to points. And then it's like, if you do meet the team again, you don't want to have that on you, that this team whooped on your ass that bad. You lost 2-0, which is not that bad, huh?
You're thinking too sensible, man. It's like if you lose and someone comes and like smacks you across the face and says, "I'm sorry you lost, man. I'm sorry you lost." You don't take that stuff, man. No. You don't take that stuff. You're like, okay, I'm not gonna punch him because I'm gonna get three.
Cheekies, I'm willing to lose a battle if I could win the war. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah.
To win the war, man. See, I'm seeing this as the whole.
But here's the whole thing, you know, it's Vucetic. He still hasn't earned his credibility yet. So it's one of those games that you cannot at least not get embarrassed. You might be able to lose a tough one, but. Just don't get ridiculed.
Hey, Busa's nickname is King Midas. He has all the credibility in the world, man.
But not at Chivas, man. It's a different animal. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what different animal, man. We're talking unless it's Chivas is Chivas. They did this thing. They did a stat thing of the last 10 years. Like, what would the league table look like if you added all the results of the last 10 years? Chivas ranked 13th. 13th,
Wait,
man.
No, huh? You mean like if you were to do like long season format or just adding up all the points or what do you mean?
All the points for the last 10 years.
Oh.
Of all the of
number
all
one
the
was
seasons.
Cruz Azul.
Man, I forgot. I had
it probably
right
Cruz
there.
Azul. Cruz Azul has been the most
No,
consistent.
America, I believe, was first. Oh, man, I'm dropping the ball here with...
Wait, here's the point, though, man. Here's the deal. Vucetic, when did he come in? Against Puebla? When was his first game?
He came in he only has like 4 games, man.
Okay, so he beat Juarez then with his first game, I guess. Then he loses to Puebla, he loses to Santos, and he ties León. If he loses this next game, or wait, no, I'm sorry. I totally messed up.
Wait, you're talking about who?
I
was looking at the first 3 games of the. Okay, so he tied Querétaro. He beat Tigres, and he tied Pachuca. Correct.
He also was he part of the Atlético game? I forgot.
He lost to Toluca, and then he beat Atleti. Okay, so if he loses to Necaxa next week, there's gonna be some heat, just because he's the Midas guy, man. He's gonna get some heat, and then if he goes into America, there's gonna be some stress for him to win. And if he loses bad against America, and the way Liga MX is with coaches, he'd be on the chopping block.
They're not gonna chop Busa off, man. You get to this dumb
man,
repechaje. That'll be step one. That'll be step one because. Chivas hasn't qualified in what, four tournaments now, maybe five in a row, not Liguilla. So, I mean, you know, at one point it's not the coach, man.
Well, it wasn't the coach, then they got rid of Tena, right?
Tena, it's a big mystery for me because he got sacked for one bad result. He didn't play the first 2 games of the season.
Yeah.
He was out with COVID. He comes in, he loses, and then he's out.
He's fired.
And in preseason, he made it to the final of the Copa por México preseason tournament. So it's not like he was getting the ass handed to him.
And the season that got canceled, Chivas were actually in good form. Yeah, so
they were in fifth place, and their last 4 games were, I think, 3 wins and 1 draw. It wasn't results, man. Hey, I thought Elias was going to do it over playing style. I don't think he's that fickle. Something happened. We don't know.
We don't know what happened, dude. Vucetich has been fired after one game, though. So there is precedent.
That's Selección, though, man. That's Selección.
But he was not even named the coach, was he?
He wasn't even the coach and he got fired. You see that?
What do you mean he was? He had coached the game, right?
He was an interim
named the coach. The interim was Tena. Ironically, things go full circle here. It was Tena who was he took after Chepo, and he had the game against the Nats. I don't know if he played a second game, and then he lost against the U.S., and then
Tena came in, and he had... I think Vucetic will, regardless of how bad the season goes, he will at least get this season. Like the rest of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're not gonna sack.
And there is no way that Chivas don't at least end up in 12th. I mean, they'll have at least an opportunity. You know what I mean? There's no way. There's just no way. There's no way that they end up not making Liga or whatever, Repechaje or Wildcard, whatever you want to call it. They have a good enough team. And some of their upcoming games are accessible. You know what I mean? It's not gonna, like, I feel like they have already played some of the toughest opponents of the league so far, so should be okay.
Iniesta.
Yeah. So let me see here. Pumas have an opportunity to get 10 games undefeated. I think Atlético San Luis should be a pretty easy game.
Wait, just really quick on what you were saying, Jaime. So, because on Chivas, because you're saying no way they missed 12, and I do think, like you're saying, the calendar does favor them.
Yeah.
They play Necaxa next.
Yeah.
Necaxa's the worst team right now.
Yep.
They should be able to at least get a point. At least. Then they do play America. Let's say they lose, just for argument's sake. Then they get Mazatlán at home, which is another one of the weaker teams. And then Tijuana, who hasn't been doing that well.
Nope.
And then Atlas, another one of the teams that's been at the bottom. So, I mean, they're close. Their last three games are going to be kind of tough. They will play Cruz Azul. But I do think that they could be qualified by this point.
Yeah. And, you know, they will play Pumas and end with Monterrey. But Monterrey hasn't been the same. So I'm not really concerned about
it. And the Chivas is at home, so I would say that point in Chivas' favor. So yeah, the calendar is looking pretty good. So Chiquis, if you're losing 2-0, I would just bend the knee right there, man. Run the clock out.
You just get in a fetal position and just take the punches, is that what you're saying?
No, man.
Just run the clock out, dude. Just bend the knees.
Take a knee.
I don't go out like a punk. I go out fighting, man.
Yeah.
Jeez, isn't it like 3 rounds UFC or what? You just tap out once.
5 rounds.
Five championships.
So someone has you in an arm lock, you're not gonna tap out. You just let them break your arm.
That's the end of the game. That's the end of the match. Like if what is it called when you win? When you're like beating someone so bad that like after 7 goals you stop playing the game.
Oh, the mercy rule.
Yeah, there's none of that in soccer. But if there were, then that would be the case. Like
we would have missed.
No, no. But man. I'm saying if it's best out of five, and you got placed in some type of arm lock, you wouldn't tap out. You'll let yourself get hurt, and then
I myself wouldn't do that, but some people do.
Well, there you go. Then why are you criticizing my?
No, but because what are you losing though? If Chivas gets beat 7-0,
I don't really told you, man.
There's 12 differential. There's 12 teams, and with Repechaje.
Yeah, but you still want to end the season.
You want to be seated higher. You know, you want to be in the highest seed.
That's a risk you're gonna take, man. You got some pride you got to hold against your rival.
The pride is we'll meet again and we'll put you in, man.
Yeah, then you have like 6 months of
you might have won the
no, you could meet in the year.
Americanista is gonna be robbing your wallet and making fun of you for losing.
Nah, it won't happen. I think it will be a good game. I think it'll be a lot of goals, but I don't think it's going to be completely one-sided. I don't think it's going to be a San Jose situation is what I'm saying, which I haven't even checked on their score. I wonder how many goals they have now. So, 7-1.
So Jaime, should they have left Tena and then they could have gotten Mati back?
No, because Vucetic was available, and that's like the hot girl that you've been trying to, you know, date forever. And she's, you know,
it is.
And she's one of the accolades. You know our Chiva bros.
You know they would take Mati in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but I am glad that they have Vucetic, because at least I know in my head that we literally had every possible like chance of winning, because we had the best coach in history. You know what I mean? It's like we had the best coach with some of the best players that I've seen in a long time. And it's just like, yo, we had all the tools at our disposal. You know what I mean? So it's like that makes me, gives me peace. And I hope that they give him a long run, because this isn't a short term vision. This is a long term vision. And, you know, I think that he can win some silver with Chivas. I think his style, though, might not fit the players that we have. You know what I mean? We need offense. We need speed. And maybe if he can turn them into a counter-attacking team, we might be able to see some success. But as of right now, it kind of feels like putting a square head in a circle hole, you know? I don't know.
What is Cheeky's laughing at now? What's going on, Cheeky's shirt?
Unless I gotta send you this thing. Okay, sorry. There's a tweet I just saw of this Americanista swing. Yeah, Jaime went to take a break, but yeah, I was looking at this Americanista fan.
What is this?
Dancing. Oh, you back already, honey?
Wow. Yeah, I sent you guys that message like 10 minutes ago.
Oh.
I've been back.
Joel was talking then.
Yeah, that's funny.
He took up the time.
No, it's fine. Yeah, I mean, it's been...
Wait, what are you guys watching? I'm like out of the loop here.
It's on the chat, on the Discord chat, man.
I don't see it. I don't.
What the hell?
You on your phone with Discord? Let me. I'll put it in the Twitter chat.
Is this something from El Pipiripao?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just some guy dancing.
Yeah.
All right, I see you now.
Oh, no. See, that stuff's funny, man. Like Luis Hernandez, or even the, what was the recent Chivas one? Chivas came out and posted a TikTok with a slide tackle guy. And I was just like, man, what is this? Get this out of here.
Who, Briseño?
Yeah, Briseño with his like tight.
The head?
Was that what it was? There's a couple of them. I saw a couple of them. I was like, man, Briseño, get out of here. Pollo Briseño.
He went for a tackle and he was losing his balance. So then he's falling down, but then he like tilts his head and he's still trying to fight for the ball with his head. But I remember playing with players like that, like super torpe, you know what I mean? And they're the most dangerous people to play with because they're so unpredictable. Oh, yeah. And they'll end up, you know, doing what he did to Giovanni and just, a crater in his thigh, bro. Like, it's not cool, bro. It's just, you get these players, man, they're just so brutes and stupid, and they make stupid things, stupid tackles. And Briseño, yeah, he's the guy that celebrates slide tackles after he after he does it. Remember that tackle he did? They earned a corner kick and he celebrated like he scored a goal, man. It's just like, who is this kid, man?
Yeah, it's like you're passionate and you got energy and that's good and everything, but if you're
it's like misguided,
your athletic ability or your coordination isn't fully there, man. Like when I was, and I'm not even like a professional player. Well, I guess it applies more to like if you're just playing in the streets and stuff. You know, I don't play with those types of people, man. If you're not an experienced soccer player, I won't play with you because you're hacking your legs. And
that's how you break angles, man.
Yeah.
I remember like at tryouts, like every time I would try out, I would stay the hell away from those people that were like, yeah, I'll try out. You know, it's soccer. You just kick the ball. Oh, stay the hell away from me, bro. You're going to break my ankle. You're going to sit on my ankle or, you know, do some weird ass kick and then we're all in trouble. Chivas and English Twitter. Okay.
Yeah, there was a TikTok that they made with Julio Briseño. And I was like, man, that's sort of not funny, but whatever. And then the Luis Hernandez ones, you guys have liked some of them, but I'm like, Luis
Hernandez. He hasn't made anything new, has he?
I think he has, but maybe it's been like a week or something.
Wasn't TikTok banned or something?
They were trying to ban it in the States, but I think they ended up not doing it. But I don't actually.
I haven't followed. Or they were gonna try to sell, or someone was gonna try to buy it or something. Maybe I don't know.
Microsoft was trying to buy TikTok. Yep.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, boys, we're about an hour and some change in. Do you guys want to wrap it up? Anything else you guys had to discuss?
Oh, I got my last one thing was I think I lost it, but. Because I wanted her, I think it's Sandra Lopez. She's a goalkeeper for the femenil team for Toluca.
Okay.
Hopefully I'm getting this right. But there's there's a video of in her game. She grabs the ball in the box.
Oh, she like elbows the yeah. Oh, I saw that.
Well, the girl comes at her though. Like, and you know this is and the tweet that I saw said this is Noel Guzman. On the feminine side.
Oh yeah.
which totally makes sense. And she just like elbows this girl coming up to her. And I think it might have messed up her jaw or something because she came out and she was like raising her hand like she was hurt and stuff. But like I wouldn't not wanting some elbow to the teeth or anything like that, man. That was ruthless. And she apologized, I think.
She did her best Noel Guzman impression because she came at it like elbow up, bro. Like that was intentional.
Macho madness on her. Remember the Olympics, Corona? He does that punch to Neymar.
Yeah.
It looks like he's giving him an uppercut.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times for goalies, they sort of train you to come out like that, like when you jump out to raise your knee in case someone jumps at you, you know, like cushions you and stuff like that, like in case they're trying to hit the ball.
Yeah.
So a lot of times it's to protect yourself. And if other player is...
You just don't expect it to see it in the feminine, you know, games. You know, you don't expect them to throw elbows, bro. You're like, holy shit, that shit came out of left field, bro.
I'm okay sort of with it. Like, I was down. I mean, but to the teeth, I'm not sure about that. But, like, you don't go up to the goalkeeper like that. Maybe not an elbow to the face, but, like, definitely something... like a shoulder to the grill or something to defend yourself. But yeah, man, that was sort of harsh.
It's not American football. It's not like even if she does hit her, they collide, the referee's going to call a foul. You know what I mean? It's not like, they're going to let the play go on and then they're going to get the goal. It's like, I don't understand why you got to throw an elbow up, bro. That's like, that's a illegal move right there.
Yeah.
I would have done an indirect kick for the opposing team. I don't know what the referee ended up doing. But that's definitely a foul and an indirect kick against Toluca if I'm a referee. And I talk from experience because I took referee classes. So I am 100% positive on this call. Then again, that was like over 10 years ago. So I'm sure the rules have changed since then.
Yeah, she apologized, so I guess that was my last thing that I had on that, comment.
I mean, it's a good topic to bring up because I have not been watching, you know, the Liga MX Femenil, and I don't understand why they play on freaking Mondays, bro. Like, I've talked about this before. These games should start before the main events, the men games. And then, you know, it's just something to have on the TV while you wait for, like, the other league to play, you know?
Maybe they take my attitude, like I was telling Joel when Chivas plays America. You have to have your pride. Like, you don't want to be playing. What is it? What's the saying? You don't want to be. You don't want to be second fiddle to some men team. You want to have your own. You want.
You want to play on pride. Monday night when nobody's watching.
You want to play on Saturday night.
They're not even playing on Monday nights. They're playing at 2 in the freaking afternoon. 2, 8 a.m. on a Saturday? Who the hell's going to watch that shit, man? Nobody. It's just terrible. Terrible. And the saddest part is...
Is there TV, though? Do they have a TV deal?
I know the Chivas do because Telemundo or Chivas made Telemundo agree
to it.
And that's actually the biggest criticism is because the women's team is killing it. The youth Chivas team is killing it. And they're all looking at the freaking first team like, yo, man, what the fuck? It's like, step it up. It looks like Chivas are in first place with 12 points. Tigres, America, and Monterrey. We have 4 teams undefeated with 4 victories in the femenil side of things. So something to keep note of. But yeah, unless there's anything else you guys wanted to talk about, I want to thank all the listeners on YouTube and in the comment section today. It was pretty lit. And for those that don't know yet, we've actually moved over to Anchor, so you'll notice that whatever podcast app you use, we should be showing up. We're on Spotify, Google, Breaker, Pocket Cast. We're on over 7 different platforms now, so everybody can hear us at their convenience and favorite podcasting app. But yeah, thank you guys for hopping on tonight. Any last words?
No, I'm good. The Pumas roar will continue on.
We'll see if they don't blunder it against Atleti. But thank you guys for joining tonight. And I hope everyone has a fantabulous weekend.